I want to take this opportunity to thank God for, you know, bringing me and my daughter to Pilgrim Camp. This is my second year. Last year we came here. You know, my initial motivation to come here, but I heard that this Pilgrim Camp is really good for the kids. I had no idea that they also, you know, have the meetings for adults. But I did not feel comfortable just sending my two kids here, so I volunteered to, you know, come to work in the kitchen so that I feel, you know, just making myself more comfortable. Last year when I came here, you know, I was going through all these meetings, I really love these meetings, and I realized that this Pilgrim Camp is not just for the kids, it's for adults also. I just want to thank God for giving me this opportunity to be here. Last year after we went back, for a while we were, you know, both my kids and I, we were so good, you know, every day like a worship and sing songs and reading Bibles together. But, you know, after a while it gets, you know, kind of cool down a little bit. So I'm really happy to come here again this year and, you know, kind of like a bring me up to, you know, where I should be, and I'm really thankful. Sometimes when I read Bible at home, you know, I feel like, especially for some like Old Testament, I feel, I don't understand why it's like that. Trying to skip some things which, you know, I'm not so interested in it, and only pick up the books which, you know, I feel, oh, it's like, a, you know, saying the words to me, and I like to read those. But this year, Sister Wendy told me a story. She said, you know, there was this lady. She, you know, somebody recommended her book. She, everybody said this book is so good, and she just she read it, but didn't really feel much interested, so she put it away. But then, you know, she met this man and fell in love with him, and then she had all the interest in reading this book. Why? Because this man is the author of this book. So when you love the author, you will love the book too. So I just say, you know, I love Jesus, so I do love to read the Bible. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. I'd like to thank the Lord for the liberty that we've been talking about this morning, or singing about, and our brother spoke about yesterday. The Lord had given me a verse about looking into the perfect law of liberty. He had also given me a scripture about, he said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. Our brother spoke last night. Before the meeting, there were some very specific issues going on in my life that one of my sisters and I were speaking and talking about, and it just got me very worked up, and I just didn't want to deal with them. They hurt too badly. But our brother, when he spoke last night, the Lord used him, and he spoke to, he put his finger on all these different issues that we had discussed before the meeting. And I received such a release through the message with Peter. The Lord used that and just applied his precious blood to my heart and set me free. I experienced that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed, that liberty in Jesus that I experienced. It was like if I could just put it in the scriptures the way he gave them to me and showed me this morning what had happened to me last night. It's the one, like when Jesus went to the woman at the well, and after he spoke to her, and she went back and she said, come and see a man who told me all things. Jesus had the ability to look into my heart, and he knew all of these things, and he dealt with them, and he gave me that living water that satisfied that thirst. And not only that, he took the scriptures from, like when the woman with the issue of blood and her accusers came, when Jesus stooped down, he said he remembered, he acted as though he heard them not. And I don't know how, I'm probably fumbling over my words. I just want to say that I liken it to when I first got saved, a cleansing that I felt then, how clean that I felt after Jesus had come to me and says, I'm the one you need. Just like with Peter, and though I had failed the Lord so terribly, it's like Jesus came and He released me last night. He forgave me completely. He saved me completely. He took His precious blood and He applied it to my heart and caused, just like in Hebrews 9:14, that His blood purged my conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And I'm just so thankful, and I praise Him, and I just love Him, and I'm so grateful for Pilgrim Camp, for all the prayers that have gone up before us, and how He so wonderfully meets us. Just give Him glory.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. He spoke to me. With Him came a blessing. He spoke to me, and glory filled my soul. His voice I heard, so charming and so wondrous. I've heard the King, and hearing am made whole. He came to me. Happens when you don't listen for the preacher, but you listen for Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. And all that you're doing for her, Lord. We know you're doing more for us than we understand. We pray that you'll bless her husband and ministry, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the place that they fill in your kingdom and for the heart that you've given them. For you, Lord, and we pray, Jesus, that you will just come to our sister. You know the needs, Lord. You know the cares that she carries, Lord, the responsibilities as they minister to the people of God, and we pray that you will just add to her equipment. We pray that you will come forth through their lives in a greater way. We pray that they'll give them the joy of seeing more of Jesus coming forth in their ministry, Lord, touching lives and giving His word and healing the sick and all that they come in contact with as they serve the people of God. Bless our sister Kathy. Help her to bring Christ home with her in a greater way and establish her in that which you have done for her, Lord, and let it grow and increase and spill over into the lives of many around her. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Did I understand correctly, Kathy, that you or your husband pastor a church where? What?
Tennessee.
I thought you were from Illinois.
I was, but I moved to Tennessee.
I mean, good. They need you down there. Praise God. Praise God. So well, we'll continue to pray for you. Take us out. Take you all on our hearts. Once you become part of the family, pray for full life. Pretty much. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Someone else. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God.
We started this service with constantly abiding. And I'm thankful that Christ calls us to abide with Him. And it's His idea and it's His plan and it's His will for our lives to abide in Him. And when we find ourselves out of that presence, we can draw our attention back to it. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, it would bear much fruit. Two of the young counselors come down every morning. They have business at this end of camp, and they're telling me they're finding lots and lots of blueberries. There's much fruit as they walk along that road and they look into the woods. They're finding fruit, and it's wonderful to bear fruit. Christ wants us to bear fruit, doesn't He? We'll bear much fruit if we abide in Him. And then they tell me that as they walk across this yard, there's a strawberry. A wild strawberry plant with one strawberry on it. And they're waiting for that strawberry to ripen up. And that's one strawberry, that one little piece of fruit is just as precious to them as all the blueberries that they're finding too. They have a plan for that strawberry. They're going to give it to Sister Heidi, who loves wild strawberries, or so they think. And they have a plan over that strawberry. And we read in that same passage of Scripture in our English translations, our English versions, that the branch that doesn't bear much fruit, He takes away. And a pastor, an author that I'm familiar with, was traveling once. He was traveling through Greece, and he saw a fellow in his vineyard. And he went and he was speaking with this farmer and with this grape grower, what do you call them? Vine dresser, whatever. And he was talking to this fellow, and he pointed out that scripture there in John where he says, those that don't bear much fruit, He takes away. And the guy said, that's not what you think. When I read that, the word that there was raised, I raised those branches. Those branches that are hanging down and are sagging and are low and aren't bearing any fruit, I raised them. You think it's snip and gone because that's what we read, but that's not what it means at all. I raised them. I tied them up so that they can get the sun, so that they can get that life. It's Christ's idea that we would go from a little fruit, no fruit, to a little fruit. And then from a little fruit to medium fruit, and then from that to much fruit. And there are different things that He does. Brother Kenny has mentioned them. As He works, He prunes. Sometimes it says that He has to chastise. But His goal is for us to abide in Him and to bring forth fruit. We were talking about abiding with these young people, and they have maybe a little fruit in their lives. And God wants to develop that. He wants to make that to grow. He wants to raise you up. He wants to bring you where His grace can shine upon you, where that sun can hit those branches. And you can go from a little fruit to a little bit more fruit. And that's His desire. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that we learn here to abide in Him, to look to Him and to see Him. And I'm thankful for that. And that's my desire over this group. We're learning. You can't bend a branch too quick or it'll snap. But we're developing a little bit. And I'm thankful for that.
Living in Thee, Lord, and Thou in me, constant abiding, this is my plea. Grant me Thy power, boundless and free. Power with men and power with Thee.
Thankful for Pilgrim Camp. I'm thankful for the Lord's presence on these grounds. I've been coming here since 1979. And the first time I came here, I didn't feel anything. And I went to the Lord, of course, and He helped me. I'm so thankful that we don't have to depend on feelings. God gives us something deeper than a feeling. He gives us His Word. These things have I written unto you,
that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life in his name. And I was just thinking this morning how many invitations Jesus gives us in the Bible. He tells us to come. We heard something about that. We heard a lot about that when our brother Kenneth and my dear friend preached about let us draw near. I was thinking of Joseph and his brothers, how Joseph was a picture in the Old Testament of Jesus. He was testing them, and they did him wrong, just the way our sins nail Jesus to the cross. And they thought that that's it. This ruler in Egypt, he's gonna just run us into the ground. And the Lord, Joseph was just doing that to bring them to repentance, and then he wanted to reveal himself. He said, I'm Joseph. Draw near, I'm your brother. And Jesus does the same thing. Sometimes he lets us go through things. And we think sometimes he's angry at us, and that's not the purpose at all. I love that encouraging scripture in Hebrews where it says, no chastening seems to be joyous but grievous. But later on it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto those that are exercised thereby. God wants us to be partakers of his holiness. It says that. It says your earthly bosses do it. I'm paraphrasing. Your earthly bosses do that for their benefit, I guess, to prosper their business, their own interests. He says, but your heavenly Father chastens you for your own benefit, that you might be partakers of his holiness. That's not what I was going to say, but I was looking at this scripture in John chapter 3, verse 17, because this scripture is so precious. They're all precious, but I love this one because it reminds me of the purpose why Jesus came. It says here that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world... through him might be saved. And I'm so thankful that he invites us to come to him. Every time I read that scripture, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's like I'm hearing it for the first time. Not only that scripture, all the scriptures, Old and New Testament. Because it's the Word of God. It just keeps on becoming more beautiful and more alive as we seek the Lord and as we look into his word. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And the reason why we find rest is because Jesus doesn't ask us, and I'm so thankful for that, he doesn't ask us to live this Christian life in our own strength. But he wants to live it through us. He wants to live out his life through us. Just as Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul came to that place where Jesus was doing everything in him. And I'm so thankful that God has the same thing for us. He may show us where we're still trying to do things, and like our brothers been saying, we get disappointed. But you know, God doesn't show us to discourage us. He's just showing us the places in our life where we're still trying to be good, trying to be holy, trying to please him. And he's saying, you know, I want to live inside of you, and I want to live my victorious life in you. I want to please the Father through you, and I can do it perfectly, but you have to give me permission. You have to let me. And I'll never forget that prophecy. I believe Sister Gardner gave it in 1976. I was only saved about a year. But I think she spoke in tongues, and I think Brother Gardner interpreted it. And it was something to this effect. I think you were there at that meeting. You were always in the Sunday night meetings. You'll never be perfectly happy, the Lord said through Sister Gardner, until you find that perfect place, that perfect niche in the body of Christ that I've ordained for you to fill. It might not be a large place, it may not be an attractive or glorious place as far as the human eye can see, but if you fill that place and let me live out my life within you, you'll be so happy, you'll be so contented. I'll be able to satisfy you fully, and you'll realize the purpose in your life for which I've created you for. I've never forgotten that. The times I've failed, I've wavered, but God didn't throw me away, didn't give up on me, as we heard last night, but kept on working with me. And I'm so thankful for Jesus. He's so wonderful. He's such a giving person. He's such an unselfish, generous, you know, the Bible says in Solomon, he's altogether lovely. And I just love him. I just love him so much this morning. I'm so privileged that I belong to him. I'm so privileged that God brought me into a fellowship like Ridgewood. Sometimes people ask me, do you go to Ridgewood, or do you go to Williamsburg, or do you go to Canonsie? I say yes. As much as I can, you know. But I just love belonging to God's family, and I love belonging to Jesus, because there's no better friend than him. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He gets more wonderful, sweeter as the days go by, as the years go by. And I'm just thrilled. It just thrills my soul that I belong to him. And thrills me even more that the best is yet to come. We're not finished products yet, but God's working toward that end. And he's so patient with us. How that should motivate us to be patient with one another, to love one another, to pray for one another. We don't have to kick about mistakes that we see in one another, but we can pray for those things. We can pray for ourselves too. Sometimes we notice these things pretty quickly, because sometimes it's a reflection of what's in us. And when we're like Barnabas, we kind of gravitate to seeing the grace of God in people. We see what the good that God's doing in people. And when we're like Jesus, we see it even more. We become encouragers, as our blessed Lord and Master is. What an encourager he was, and still is. Seated and praying for us at the right hand of God, and I'm thankful. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we have somebody praying for us 24 hours a day, nonstop. And his prayers are effectual. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And who's more righteous than Jesus? Amen. So you have somebody praying for you that's so righteous that God the Father has to listen to him, must listen to him, because he's righteous and he's praying according to the Father's will. As we wait upon him and get to know him better, we start to pray those same prayers. We start to think like him, and we start to see the world the way he does. He was moved with compassion. He wasn't critical. He doesn't get disgusted with people like the devil does. And we certainly don't want to act like the enemy who accuses the brethren day and night, but he's moved with compassion, and he'll do everything. He'll move heaven and earth to help us out of our problem. I'm just so thankful that we have a friend like that. Best friend anybody can ever have. And I'm so privileged to belong to Jesus. I praise him this morning.
Christ liveth in me.